How do you do? Come with us, won't you? You'll meet a young man who felt he had life by the tail. He was a popular leader at school, a handsome, athletic, enthusiastic person, who made friends easily and kept his friends with unusual loyalty. But alcohol, drugs, and immorality threatened to destroy his future until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Man, I never thought I'd see you here tonight.
Surprised you, huh?
Surprised isn't the word. I mean, there I was, just sitting in a college dormitory, 1,000 miles from home, Saturday night with nothing to do, and then pop, in walks Kit.
Well, the scene in Chicago was getting to be a drag, so I thought I'd see if we could stir up some trouble here in Iowa.
Say, Kit, this is one super four-wheeled machine.
Rides nice, huh? Great pickup.
And I like the extras that come in the front seat.
Something to drink for special times and special friends. Man, Iowa drivers are worse than back home.
But you thought you were still driving a horse and buggy.
Hey, I like your college. Give me a taste of that stuff, huh?
It's not bad. We got some girls here who would like to have a good time. It's not like having you and Andy and Skip around, though.
Hey, give me another bottle.
Sure. Hey, look out! Look out!
From Chicago, crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. Since 1877, the doors of the old lighthouse have offered a friendly welcome to men and women from Chicago's streets. Our helping hand includes food, clothing, lodging, and medical and dental care. All of these services are free. Most important is the service given by trained counselors who show our guests how life can be filled to overflowing. Unshackled is now reaching a larger audience worldwide than any other dramatic series of its kind. All this happens as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. Some young people seem to have advantages that make life like a silver platter. Outgoing personality, good upbringing, handsome appearance, they all help. But when you put them all together in one person, it may seem as if nothing could go wrong. Well, Jack had to learn the hard way. You'll hear about it as we bring you the true story of Jack Berghorst, right now on Unshackled.
We were a farm family from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Corn, soybeans, and hay. That was Dad's life. The farm and church. Oh, yes. We were a Sunday morning and evening family when it came to a church. Maybe that's where I picked up the notion of becoming a minister when I grew up. I remember a willow tree out behind our house. When no one else was around, I would go out to that tree, climb up on the picnic table there, and preach to the tree as if those branches and leaves could really hear. The farm was a great place to grow up. But when I was 13, things changed.
Jack, your mother and I decided to take the family to a place where you kids can get a better education.
But I'm doing okay in school.
Oh, you're doing fine, son.
Then why move away?
Well, this may be hard for you to figure, Jack, but farm hasn't been too profitable for a couple of years. I love it here, but sometimes you have to do things and go places just because you have to. Just keep the family going. God knows our needs. He'll help us out.
We moved to Lombard, Illinois, just west of Chicago. Dad got a job in a factory. It was tough on him. He was a farmer, used to the sun and wind. Now he was 10 hours a day inside a paint factory. But he did it for us, for the family. My three sisters and I enrolled in school. We were the new kids. For a time, it was tough making friends. Then I met a very outgoing guy.
Hey, somebody told me you just moved in. That so?
Yep, we come from South Dakota.
That where they got a mountain with all kinds of president's heads?
Yeah, but we lived on the other side of the state.
Well, my name's Andy Morgan.
You new too?
No, I've been around here for a long time. I got some friends you ought to meet.
When Andy Morgan came up to talk to me after a Friday night movie, it was the start of a lasting friendship. By the time we went to high school, our little group, Andy, Skip Hurd, Kit Stanich, and me, we were doing everything together, including trouble.
Hey, you guys coming over to my place after the football game tonight?
Cool, man.
And nobody will be there but us. And I got the key to the old man's booze cabinet.
You mean real booze?
Sure, I mean real booze. You ever seen booze that isn't booze?
You get drunk on that stuff?
All the time. You ever been drunk?
Yeah, lots of times.
Well, then?
Kit, you coming?
Sure, man.
Hey, super. Let's do it.
Sometimes we went to Andy's house for parties, and sometimes we parked behind a restaurant or at a nearby college. All the time we drank. Often we invited girls to our parties, especially when Andy's parents were going to be gone all weekend. It was a new scene for me, and the others knew it.
Hey, Jack, does your old man ever say anything about your drinking?
He doesn't even know about it.
Really?
Sure. Look, he gets up early, even on Saturdays. So he's always in bed when I get home.
Really?
He doesn't know anything about it.
He's kind of religious, ain't he?
We always go to church.
You too?
Yep, every Sunday.
How come?
We just do it, that's all. We've always done it.
Do you always pray before your meals too? Like you did when I was over to eat last week?
Every time we eat.
I sure never heard of that before.
You don't pray at your house?
Pray at my house and the food will be gone before you open your eyes. Hey, see you tonight.
Yeah, you got the beer?
All you can drink.
Andy didn't understand how our family could be so religious, but he did have a certain respect for it. I remember one time he invited me over to his house to eat with his family, and before we sat down at the table, he took me into another room just so I could pray. I guess he thought it was something I had to do. Well, my dad never did say anything to me about drinking. Sometimes he talked, but he never called me on that.
Son, you'll be going off to college soon. And you remember when you were younger, I would ask you what you wanted to be, and you would answer, I want to be a minister.
I remember that. Seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that's what you always said. Yes, Dad, I want to be a minister.
Well, Dad, a lot has changed since then. I think I'd like to go into business.
Business, huh?
Yep, there's a lot of things I could do. Hey, maybe I could help out in the church by being a big businessman. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Well, you keep your sights on the things of the Lord, son. You keep your eyes on Him.
Yeah, Dad, sure. I knew Dad was disappointed when I told him that my ambitions were changing. I didn't really care a hoot about church by the time I entered college. I wanted to go into business to make a pile of money and to have a good time. I couldn't tell Dad that, but when I finally got to college in Iowa, that's just what I did. Have a good time, that is. Andy, Skip, Kit, and I stayed close, even though we were in different parts of the country by now. During vacations, we were always together, and sometimes we would travel hundreds of miles just to talk together and have a beer. That's what happened the night Kit showed up at my college dormitory and we went joyriding in his new car. That was a close call. I was tossed through the windshield, but wasn't injured seriously. We didn't even get in trouble for having liquor in the car. Lucky, I guess. Alcohol was my thing, but a new kick was starting to be popular. And that bothered me.
Hey, Jack, what's this I hear about you dropping out of the fraternity?
Yeah, well, easy come, easy go.
Come on, man, what gives?
I'm tired of it.
But you've been around the frat for 3 years. Why quit when you're a senior? That's the time to live it up.
Man, I have been living it up. That's all I've been doing.
You're scared.
Lay off.
I'm telling you, you're scared of the dopers.
I just don't want to hassle with the heavy stuff.
Dope ain't no more hassle than booze. Fact, booze is more dangerous, and I can prove it.
Look, Harvey, I've been an officer in this frat house. I've been on a campus committee. I've been this and I've been that. But this dope scene that you guys are getting into, well, you can keep it. I'm getting out. I suppose it seemed like a holier-than-thou thing to do when I quit the fraternity at college. But my grades were slipping, and I had just busted up with a girl. I was just plain tired of the school scene. I wanted to get out fast as I could and get a job, make some bread, and have a good time. I thought I could stay clear of drugs by getting out of the fraternity, but not so. Maybe I got into it slower than the other guys, but I did get in. It stayed with me after I left school and went back to the old location near Chicago.
You gonna stick around here now that you're done with school?
I guess so, Andy. My friends are all here.
Hey, I got some parties going on over at the International Village that you wouldn't believe.
Then I sure better stick around.
Kit's back from the Army. Why don't you get an apartment with him?
Sounds good. I just want to find a job and have a good time.
You seen Skip yet?
Not since his wedding.
Oh, he's really weird.
What gives?
All he talks about is religion.
No kidding.
Oh, okay, not all the time, but you'd think he wasn't into anything else but going to church. Just like you.
Like who?
You're the old church mouse, you drunken bum.
Yeah, I remember church.
Kind of hard turning out for church with a hangover, huh?
Hey, let's drop it, okay? Where are we going?
Yeah, sure. Oh, how about Chicago?
What's in Chicago?
Girls. Let's pick up a couple of girls.
Lead the way, maestro. I got work at a computer company, got an apartment, drank a lot, and did my dope. But just the little stuff. Nothing hard. It was fun being around the guys again, even though Skip was outside the group by now. Funny. If anyone was supposed to be the religious one in our bunch, it was me. I was the one who had gone to church every week with my mom and dad. Andy and Kit and Skip never used to go. I was the guy who had once thought of becoming a minister. All that was changed now, but I still thought I had the inside track on God. That was changing, too.
Life was changing around Jack more than he knew, and it would soon affect him in ways he couldn't imagine. You'll hear about that, but first, let's talk with Harry Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, if people had planned to help with Thanksgiving dinner for the men and women of the street, I'm afraid they're now too late. The foodstuff just wouldn't arrive in time.
That's true, Jack. But they can have a part in the annual Christmas party at the old lighthouse. That involves sending a gift for one of the people of the street.
The gift should be practical, but it should be chosen as a gift and not a handout. We give serviceable articles of clothing to people year-round, but this is different. We want the person receiving a gift to recognize that someone somewhere has taken the time to choose with care for the sake of the Lord Jesus.
Gifts should not only be practical, but also not at all lavish. Sensible gifts, sensibly and prayerfully chosen, are what is needed.
Sweaters, hosiery, undergarments, shirts and blouses, gloves and jackets, these things are greatly needed.
Do not gift wrap your selection. The expense and trouble is really not necessary. Leaving it unwrapped makes it easier for our people to match the gift and the person receiving it. If you'll mark things clearly, it will help in seeing that your gift goes to the right person.
Our address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Here it is again, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you can, do help make Christmas meaningful to one of the people of the street. When Jack came back to Chicago after college, he thought he was returning to the old gang just as he knew it in high school. But the gang was changing.
When Skip started getting religious, it was like one of the foursome was gone. He was married anyhow, so that made it different too. But when Andy, my best friend, started getting hyped on God, That was really disturbing. What did he know about religion anyhow? I was the expert.
Hey, Jack, you gotta meet these two girls who moved into the apartment right above mine.
Cute?
That's not it, man. I mean, yeah, they're cute, but that's not where it's at for them.
What do you mean?
Well, the first day I met them, they lay this rap on me about being Christians. Except they don't talk about it like going to church. They keep getting back to knowing Christ as your personal savior. It's wild. I don't know what to think about it.
Sounds normal for church people.
Well, you've been in church all your life. You know what their bag is?
I don't even want to talk about it. Let's get a beer.
Okay, but later. Help me figure these two chicks out. Maybe their radicals are going to blow up my apartment.
In a way, those two girls, Barb Gibson and Sue Berg, did just that. They blew up Andy's apartment with a whole new way of life, something that he had never tasted before. I knew what they were talking about, but I wasn't interested, and I let them know it.
And after we were all blown away, Gary the Rat, you know him, well, he says, "Hey, let's all go for a swim." So we didn't have swim trunks, but blub, 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 in we go.
Can you swim when you're drunk?
Nah, we just splashed around until we sobered up enough to know where we were.
Oh, no. Here comes trouble.
Hi, fellas. Hi, Andy.
Hey, what's this special treatment? Hi, fellas. Hi, Andy. We got names, too.
Barb, excuse these coarse, uncivilized drunkards.
You got a name, Kit?
Yeah, Felix.
No. Hey, Barb, let's you and me get a beer. A Coke. On me. What do you say?
A Coke? Andy Morgan drinking a Coke? Does your mother know?
See you later, Andy.
Toodaloo, Andy Dandy. Don't drink too much sugar water in front of your guests. You might belch.
Hey, Jack, she's not such a bad kid.
Look at them over there. They're probably getting into a long talk on religion, and Andy will start asking all kinds of crazy questions again.
Yeah, well... Hey, did I ever tell you about the time I was coming back from Okinawa?
Andy took a lot of ribbing from us. He wasn't the religious type, and when he began to sober up around Barb, Kit and I took it as if our best friend were on his deathbed. One day, a few months later, Andy actually did become a Christian. He didn't tell me about it right away, but I knew something happened to him. He was getting excited about life at the same time I was hitting the skids. The pieces were just not falling together for me. I was depressed. It didn't help any when Andy began talking to me the way the girls had talked to him.
I don't know quite how to put it, but Jesus Christ used to be just the guy we talked about on the street corner. Now he's my Lord. He's in my heart. The Bible says he makes all things new, and that's me, too.
Pretty sick.
No, the other way was sick. Get it together, man. Give Jesus a chance with your life.
I knew I needed it, but I wasn't low enough yet to really admit it to myself. The lows were not too far away.
Hello?
Sweetheart, where have you been?
Oh, Jack. Hi, what's going on?
Well, that's what I want to ask you.
Oh, Jack, let's not get into that.
What are you talking about? I thought we had a special thing going.
We do, Jack, we really do.
Then how come I can never find you at home? I've been calling all week. Nobody answers. Finally, when I do get an answer, it's some guy who says, "Tom here." Who's Tom?
Jack, don't be impossible. He's just a friend.
You know I don't like you fooling around.
That's not fair.
Look, I'm coming down to see you this weekend.
Sure, we can talk then.
Friday night about 10. I'll be there.
I did travel down to see her that weekend, but that only made it worse. We split up, adding to my depression. And to show you how serious it was, I lost 20 pounds just brooding about it. Then, when my spirits were as low as they had ever been, I went to see Andy. I remember it well. A warm Monday night in June.
What's happening?
Just came to talk.
Want something cold?
Nah, skip it tonight. Look, I just want to get some straight answers.
Well, then ask me a straight question.
You say you're a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life, or so I thought. But now I don't think so anymore.
Okay, so now you don't think so. What about it?
We used to have good times together. So tell me, what does a Christian do to have a good time?
It's no drag, man. Look, I've only been a Christian 2 months, but I don't miss that old life at all. I got love now. God's love.
You mean it's really not so bad?
It's like feeling clean. And that's not bad at all.
I guess not.
Hey, Brother Jack, you need to get rid of those drugs and that booze and give your life to Christ.
I don't know.
You need love, man.
That's the truth.
Well?
Andy, do you know if there are any good-looking Christian girls around?
Oh, man. First things first.
I saw something very genuine and attractive in what was happening to my good friend. I left his place that night and did some heavy thinking. It was late that same night when I finally faced the facts and faced myself and realized that only my big, fat ego was keeping me from finding God's love in my life. God, I've been fooling around with some bad, bad deals for a long time. If you can make anything of this mess, then do it. Please. Praying that simple prayer was the start of a brand new life for me. I prayed and read the Bible late into the night, and I knew what I had to do the next day.
Jack, what are you doing here?
Man, I've been waiting for you to get home for 2 hours.
Bible study night, remember?
That's what I came to tell you about.
You're going to come to Bible study next week?
I had one of my own last night. I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior.
What? Great! We've all been praying.
Those prayers got answered. I feel like I've just jumped into a bathtub of white shoe polish. I had a lot of explaining to do to a lot of people. My father, for one. I wrote him a long letter telling him how sorry I was for disappointing him and how glad I was that finally I knew Christ as my Savior. I thanked him and Mom for showing me what a Christian family was. They were happy, to say the least. Not all my friends were so sure that I was on the level. So that's why I wanted to see you again.
Thanks for the dinner, Jack. It's nice for you that you think you've found something in this religious thing.
I want you to know that I'm sorry for the way I treated you while we were heavy together. I made you think that we were going steady, you know, but I was just always running around. I led you on. I'm sorry. I didn't treat you like a person. Wish I could take all those things back.
Well, you can't, and you'll never be able to. And all this religious stuff won't change things either. You just go ahead and be sorry all you want.
I am.
Forget it. Let's just forget the whole thing.
Forgetting the past is not entirely possible, of course. We do have memories, some that come back to haunt us during weak moments. We trust Jesus day by day to wash our minds and renew us with his thoughts and desires. One way he does it is by giving us new goals and new plans, new friends and new dreams. I met a pastor friend who could play a very crucial role in my development as a Christian.
Now you said you want some help with a decision,
Pastor Markham, that Mother's Day sermon you preached, the one where 17 of us came forward to give our lives for Christian service.
Yeah, that was a blessing from God.
I think God might want me to be an evangelist.
Well, he wants us all to be evangelists, Jack. Maybe not professional evangelists, but sharers of the good news of the gospel.
I'm talking about full time.
Well, one way to approach that is through training for the ministry. Very important.
More school, huh?
Yes. And not to pack your head with a lot of holy knowledge, but to give God time to speak to your heart and give you a message. His message for his people through you.
Like learning what special thing God has for me to do?
And to say.
Okay. If that's what it takes, I'm ready.
The pastor and Jack spent a great deal of time praying together. And then Jack started working with the young people at his church. And he also enrolled as a student at Divinity School. And then he tells us that God answered his prayers in another very important matter, too. At one of the church Bible studies, Jack met a girl named Sarah. He found her extremely beautiful in many ways. And Jack says he fell at first sight. After just two dates, he told her quite flatly that he loved her and wanted them to be married. And though she wasn't immediately so convinced herself, later that same summer, God tied the package together, and they were making plans together to get married, which they did on one happy day in August of 1974. Jack and Sarah spent 2 years at Divinity School and then moved to finish training at a seminary in New Jersey. Jack was ordained to the Christian ministry in July of 1978. Today he, Sarah, and their little daughter live in Media, Pennsylvania, where Jack ministers at a local church. The same Lord who changed Jack Berghorst, who brought him healing and forgiveness and purpose of life, can change your life too. To learn more about it, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The phone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. If you listen to Unshackled in Europe, address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Write to us this week and tell us you hear the program. Join us next week for another true story of a life unshackled. Heard in the true story of Jack Berghorst were Kim Rasmussen as Jack, with Barry Stigler, Felice Pauly, and Roger Mueller. Kit Stanich was played by Kit Stanich. Original music, Lucille Becker. The story was written by Mark Fackler as he received it from Mr. Berghorst. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life's empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting now for your call. Area 312-922-1462.